prologue. From that night in the alley, when she was lying in a pool of her own blood, her rebirth had been a series of misadventures that had spawned a war that spanned the globe. The dead, her dead, were mounting. This was the first truly world war, with no neutral countries and no safe havens. The horror that was unleashed as the Seven Seals weakened could strike anywhere without warning. Even countries with little or no military were sending troops to the front lines, where the casualty rates made the trench warfare of World War I look like a barroom brawl. Crystal sat on the roof of the brownstone thinking of her own losses. The one that hurt the most was the death of Jean-Claude. There was something so vibrant and joyous about the man, a mischievous twinkle in his eye that made everyone he met feel like he was including them in a private joke. And he always had a sympathetic ear whenever she felt troubled. And now, more than ever, she needed his advice. In her hand she held Gwen's diary. She reread the same paragraph again. It's a different world we live in today. Hell is a very real place now as these bubbles of evil appear more frequently. For some it was an endless series of nightmares, for others a living nightmare as their neighborhoods were plagued by demons or the hordes of possessed zombies. Creatures without name or form spring up in the middle of towns and cities, where overburdened authorities struggled to contain each new outbreak. And now, the plagues have begun, diseases that medical science had never dreamed of, or had thought long since conquered, diseases that make Ebola and flesh-eating bacteria look like the common cold. Yes, it is a very different world than the one most of us grew up in. Soon they would be leaving to put the last phase of her plan into action. Even if they succeeded, the death toll would continue to rise, and she was no longer sure what was the right thing to do. They could end this, but to do so would take something too terrible to contemplate. Chapter 1. It was a crime for it to snow in July, Gwen thought as she blinked sleepily out her bedroom window. It was hard to believe all this began 2.5 years ago with a foundling girl. "Wait, you are being unfair to Crystal," Gwen scolded herself and sighed miserably at the snow. This began long ago, back in the 1300s with a pope named Sylvester and his succubus lover, and their discovery of the prophecies of Satan. Even the events that had transpired beneath the streets of New York City that led to Jean-Claude's death had its roots in the 1300s and the First Vampire War, or perhaps in the 1600s, when Vlad Romanov called the vampire clans of the diaspora together in a place called New Amsterdam. Unlike Crystal, who was reincarnated throughout the centuries, Gwen had only lived through the last 2.5 years. So long ago, or so it seemed. So much destruction, so many dead. The girl sighed and stared out at the snow. Vague, dark shapes in the white drew her closer to the glass. It was not snow. It was spider webs. Billions upon billions of strands of sticky silk. The spiders were finally coming for her. Someone was screaming. It was 4 in the morning. If they did not stop it, they would wake up everyone in the household. Some people had no consideration. See, Gwen thought as she heard footsteps running from every direction, whoever it was, they were in for a world of hurt now. If they had woken the baby, Aiko would rip their tongue out and strangle them. Alex and Aiko were the first to arrive and Gwen found that she had lost her voice and was only able to point at the window. "Gwen," Alex griped. "Stop screaming and tell us what's wrong." "Screaming, me?" Gwen thought indignantly as she pointed at the window and stammered something about spiders. "Girl, I haven't screamed once in my life. In fact, I seem to be suffering from a severe case of laryngitis." "So," Aiko grumbled. "You woke the baby to tell us it's snowing." "And not snow," Gwen retorted, wondering why her teeth were chattering. "Spiders." April came in, arms folded. "What is it now?" "The spiders have finally come for me," Gwen replied reasonably, finally finding her voice as she turned to confront her mother. I told you my blood was too sweet to resist, but no. You always told me I was being ridiculous. Because you are, her mother scolded, moving to take a closer look at the window. A trail of tiny spiders was marching in through a crack in the sill. It's beyond me why God saddled me with a household of special children, and not one of them with an active brain cell. Go, gather all the candles. We need to seal the windows and the doors. Crystal arrived, suggesting, maybe if we give them Gwen they'll go away. April tssked and shot her a hard look. You're not helping, Crystal. Go find Angel and that Australian godlet. His name is Wangina, Crystal snickered. You could try and remember it once in a while. He's the only one of the bunch that doesn't cause me trouble, April muttered. I never have cause to remember him. Ember wandered in, rubbing her eyes and trailing her three hounds. One of them was so covered in webs he was white, and the other two were licking dark shapes off his coat. He dropped something dark and hairy at April's feet. For mother's sake, Ember. April sighed, exasperated. Keep those walking disasters in the house. Strawberry had to go out to pee, Ember protested, and I can't find his leash. Probably ate it, Aiko deadpanned. And raced off as the baby started to cry. Alvaro, can't you do anything? Aiko still refused to name her baby because he had not blooded the teat, and although he was 3 months old and owned a healthy set of lungs that stole all sleep from the brownstone, nothing would change her mind. I still think Boysenberry is a lovely name, Ember said, as if reading everyone's mind. Or maybe Mulberry would be a better name for a boy. Blueberry, her imp, had wedged himself between their feet and was busy eating the little spiders, you. Blueberry. Don't eat them, they'll give you the poops. It's the first useful thing the little shit has ever done, Gwen remarked, and then huffed beneath her mother's glare. What? It's the mother's own truth. Keep it up, young lady, and I'll find some pots that need scrubbing, April warned. Well, Gwen muttered defensively, it's true, isn't it? If you have nothing better to do, April suggested in that tone they had all learned to fear and hate, go collect all the candles and sealing wax. In fact, all of you go now. I believe I've already asked you to seal the windows and doors. Gwen lingered in the hallway as Angel and Alvaro moved to talk to April. She knew it wasn't polite to eavesdrop, but if she didn't, she would never find out anything. Adults were like that, especially those who happen to be a few thousand years older than you. What do you think? April asked the newcomers, pointing out the window. A spider demon, Angel replied immediately. And a powerful one. We'll need to find her and fast, April sighed. But how can we when we are trapped in the building? I can go, Angel replied. Aiko and I can move through these webs using her mist trick, Alvaro offered. And Alex, if she removes her ring. That makes four of us. I don't like the girl to remove the ring, April complained. It's too dangerous, especially now with the metaphysical world in flux. What isn't anymore? Alvaro countered. I will keep her safe, Angel promised. And I may be able to shorten our search if I can get above these webs. Do it, April decided. For the next hour the brownstone fell quiet as its occupants were busy either sealing the windows and other cracks with melted wax, or hunting spiders. This latter chore fell to Ember and her hounds. Many of the arachnids coming into the building were poisonous, although demons were immune to poison, being kin to angels. And hellhounds had voracious appetites, eating anything and everything they could fit into their mouths. On top of this, the imp's main diet seemed to be creepy crawlies, no matter how delicious a breakfast Ember fixed for her little man. Sometimes life was tough on a mother with four children. Gwen watched her with amusement, scolding and cajoling and stomping her feet. Her job seemed easier than the one the others were stuck with, running around with lit candles and ladles of hot wax, but the Wiccan girl knew how hard it was to get these hounds to focus on anything. Twice, when Ember demanded Strawberry find the spider, he popped out and returned with something wriggling in his mouth. He became an immediate favorite of Blueberry, the devilish imp plucking them off his coat faster than they could scuttle away. As much as Gwen hated the blue disaster, when it came to scarfing spiders he was a holy terror, and for the moment he was her personal hero. The others could tease her all they wanted, Gwen knew every spider in the world was conspiring to drink her blood. It was the price you had to pay for being so sweet. She carried a pot of hot wax up to the attic, where Angel was waiting to leave the brownstone on a scouting mission. She had lived here for 10 years and never knew this crawl space existed. Searching every shadow and nook for her persecutors, Gwen joined Aiko, who was standing ready to seal the window once Angel was gone. "Don't worry," Angel soothed. "The presence of an angel drives the spiders away." "And what do I do when you're gone?" Gwen accused. The angel's laughter followed him out the window. Despite their dark humor, the incident was very serious. These bubbles of evil were appearing with increasing frequency, and at their epicenters they were finding more powerful demons. Time was running out for the demon hunters and their mission. An overhead view of the neighborhood surrounding the brownstone revealed an awe-inspiring sight. Nearly 20 blocks lay buried beneath a snowy blanket of webs, only the vague outlines of the buildings and vehicles visible beneath the haze. Caught in the heart of this blizzard of webbing, Gwen only saw a fraction of what was unfolding before Angel's eyes. The vast numbers of spiders needed to spin this overnight left a terror gibbering at the back of her mind that would have left her catatonic had she seen the true extent of the infestation. She, like Angel, would have recognized the tightly wound cocoons as mummified humans, some perhaps still alive as they waited to feed this numberless host. As his quest carried him deeper into the heart of the spider colony, Gwen occupied herself playing with the baby, refusing to look out the window. She did not care that the center of this infestation was dotted by dozens of cocoons, because Gwen did not plan to leave the building until every spider was gone, even if she had to spend the rest of her life here. Nor did she want to hear about the Driders Angel had spotted, the half-human, half-spider creatures who guarded the lair of the spider demon. The ones with the faces of women already gave her enough nightmares. Kantara found her in the attic, tickling the baby and ignoring her post at the window. "I was about to ask if there's any sign of Angel, but I can see I'm asking the wrong person." "There's icky things out there," Gwen complained. "Besides, you're from the first creation. Your blood is so bitter you'd give the spiders the shits for a month. So you should be doing this." Kantara gave her the toe of a boot on the way to the window. "Human teenagers are such a pain, perhaps if we fed them you they would give up eating for good." "That's not funny, Kantara," Gwen snapped. "Keep it up and I'll zing you into next week." Angel returned and tapped at the window. When Aiko and Kantara opened it, he was confronted by Gwen and her Wiccan cathode, also known as a vampire zinger. Unfolding his wings, Angel barely avoided being blown into the next state as Gwen cut a large swath through the spider colony with a wall of force. "Have you gotten that out of your system?" Angel asked sarcastically. "Yes," Gwen decided, "I believe I have. That ought to teach those eight-legged monsters to leave me alone." Unfortunately, the spiders repaired the damage in under 2 hours. The colony grew despite the National Guard and other emergency workers armed with flamethrowers at its edges. The strength of the spider demon who had trapped them was incredible. God was not the only one who worked through nature, and the corrupt talents of some demons could make the worst hurricane look like a warm summer's breeze. The members of the Brownstone gathered at Crystal's apartment to hear Angel's report. Ember was the last to arrive, and was in the midst of a one-sided, violent argument. "If I handed you a shit sandwich and said you were the only one who could eat it," Ember demanded, yelling, "would you eat it?" "Ember!" April scolded. "Watch your mouth. Don't be a silly little girl," Jean-Claude smirked. "You are the only one who can find her. Besides, they're only silly little spiders." Ignoring April, Ember rounded on Jean-Claude and screeched, "Silly little ghost, your idea smells and tastes like ass. There are billions of spiders out there." "Ember," Crystal soothed, "calm down and tell us why you are upset, sweetheart. What does Jean-Claude want?" "Just because Angel is blind and thinks the demon is over there," Ember fumed, pointing, "that silly ghost wants me and my boys to go play with the spiders. It's not fair. You know what Blueberry is like. Every time he eats creepy crawlies, I'm picking bug parts out of his poop for weeks because it might be toxic. It's not my fault Angel can't tell a trap when he sees one." "What makes you think it's a trap?" Kantara asked dangerously. Ember knew she had very little patience for her tantrums, but didn't care. "Because the spider bitch is over there," Ember pointed in the opposite direction Angel had, "and is feeling full of herself." "I warned you about your language, young lady," April sighed. She grabbed Ember's nose and poured a noxious potion down her throat. "Ugh!" Ember squawked. "You've poisoned me." Howling girl, hounds and imp disappeared, leaving a heavy silence behind.